Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship, and we're delighted that you join us tonight for this chapter of the story. The story is a book written by Max Lucado and Randy Frazee. This is the Bible written in novel form, taking us on a journey through God's Word from Genesis to Revelation. And each week we'll take one part of the story and expound on it in the message. We hope that you enjoy this chapter tonight. The lives of the Apostle Paul and the Emperor Nero overlapped for a short time in the city of Rome. In the 7th decade, these two famous men lived in the same city. And while Nero's name was making the headlines, Paul's really wasn't. Oprah would have wanted Nero on her show. Larry King would have wanted interviewed Nero, but not Paul. Nero would have been invited to the state dinners hosted by the president. Nero was a hero, but Paul was a zero. I didn't expect that reaction. I don't know what to do now. Paul was believed to be a stooped-shouldered, balding, crooked-nosed, cloudy-eyed old man. And to make matters worse, he spoke about Jesus as if he were God. So what happened? Paul got locked up twice in Rome. If you asked anyone in Rome in the 7th decade, who will make the greatest impact on the world, Nero or Paul? Everyone would have picked Nero. Nero was married to a blonde, head-turning beauty who bathed in donkey milk. 400 donkeys were kept on hand just for that. Carlotta, I knew that would just stun you. Stunned me, too. She would, not only that, Carlotta, listen to this, Carlotta. She would be dried by swan feathers and massaged with crocodile mucus. Nero liked soft skin, and what Nero wanted, Nero got. At age 25, Nero defined himself by erecting a 120-foot-tall statue of himself. People looked up to Nero, but they looked down upon Paul. But the amazing fact is that even in his final days, Paul didn't care. Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you again for this time. We thank you for this place and for the opportunity now to study your word. And Father, as we do so, may you encourage our hearts, reminding us of our place here in this world is not for the world, but for you. And so may this be a time to conform ourselves a bit more into the image of your Son. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. If you didn't bring a Bible, there are chair Bibles around you. You can grab one and turn to the back half of the book in page 145. Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth. The New Testament records the dynamic life and deep struggles of Paul. And in this letter to the church in Corinth, Paul tells of his tumultuous life and his constant struggle with the Judaizers who were constantly trying to undermine his ministry. And he gave this defense in chapter 11, starting in verse 22. I've got to be careful because I have no headset mic and I've got to stay here. And I really want to roam, you know, that's... Okay. Rome, yeah, get it. All right, moving on. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Do you know why they only give 39, they don't give 40? It's because they thought at 40 you would die. And so they stopped at 39, thinking that 40 would cause death. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights in hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure of me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? And then verse 30, if I have to boast, I will boast of what pertains to my weakness. Paul gave a great contrast to these Judaizers. They are Jews who profess to be Christians, but yet believe Gentiles need to become Jews in order to follow Christ. The whole idea of circumcision that was dealt with at the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15. Makes you, though, what Paul just says, wants you to sign up for Christian service. Sign me up. I want to be a Christian and serve God. That's just great. Shipwreck, beaten, stone, all these things. That would just be a life that we would just shun as quickly as we could. Paul traveled in the major cities of the known Roman world, sharing the gospel. They estimate between 9,100 to 14,000 miles he traveled in his journeys over his lifetime. Most often of that, much of that on foot. Paul worked as a tent maker in the mornings and spoke about Jesus Christ and the gospel from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. each day except the Sabbath. Paul wrote books as he traveled and as he sat in prison, and we treasure his words this day. Last week we gave you this handout. I didn't print them again this week, but if you didn't get one last week, if you weren't here, there's a few out there on the table after the message. You can go and get one. And if we run out, I will print some more. But it's really a cool thing. Acts and the Epistles, and it outlines chronologically the book of Acts and where things occurred in that process and in that timing. And the first letter to be written is the book of James, which I think we're going to study this summer. I just realized that would be a great one to do. And Paul's first letter is to the Galatians in 49 A.D. and on and on and on. But it's a good tool to have and just keep tucked in your Bible. Paul was both a prophet and a pastor who never got over that the living Jesus met him, changed him, and commissioned him as an apostle. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9 says, "For I am the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me." Paul was a spokesman for grace, for God's grace. He was a messenger of grace. His favorite word was grace. He used grace over and over and over again. It should be ours. There's no coincidence or no mistake that this church is called Grace Community Christian Fellowship. Why? Because there's so much ungrace in the world. There's so much ungrace, even I see among churches, where we often feel we don't measure up. Where's God's grace? We don't measure up, but we come under God's grace. You know, whatever we hold against someone, we need to get rid of, because God's grace is greater than all that. And we hold on to petty little things. Here are some key focuses in Paul's life that we can learn and practice today as we look at Paul's final days. First is Paul's secret to enduring changing circumstances. I will tell you that I am not a person who really embraces change a lot. I really don't. In some areas of my life, and some I do. You know, in the church you have to, because things are always changing. You always got to think and moving forward. Sometimes in my personal life, you know, I want things just to get a little settled, you know. My wife has a great phrase that she uses with me. She says, "I've been thinking about something." And I know that involves time and something really creative that we're going to change, you know. And sometimes it's always great. It's always great stuff, you know. But sometimes I have to be coaxed a little bit to do it. But the end result is always wonderful. It's always wonderful, honey. I love it. Have I said it's wonderful? Good. All right, moving on. But Paul gives us a secret for that, how to deal with changing circumstances. Philippians 4, 11 through 13. "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Some of you know it. "I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me." You know, whatever changing circumstances we have, Christ has got to be the focus of it. Because this life will have its ebbs and its flows. It'll have its prosperity. It'll have its difficult times. But Christ is always at the center of it. Trusting him for whatever it might be. You know, my mom is a wonderful example of that. I've seen her being content in all things, and God has used her in so many powerful ways. She's never changed. in difficult times or in prosperity, she has just been a steady, steamboat going through all that. She'd be like the icebreaker at the wintertime through Mackinac Island and the bridge. Boom! And smiling the whole time. This is fun. Secondly, Paul's view on hardship and opposition. These are things that we face and should face as Christians. If we don't, then there's something wrong, because we have an enemy who wants to undermine everything that we do and make us focus in on the problem rather than on the solution. Paul's view on hardship and opposition. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting verse 7, says this: "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels ourselves, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves." The power that we display when we work in Christ's plans is His power, not our power. It's all focused on Him. "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you." We are constantly on the struggle. We are constantly on a battleground, a matter of life and death, with the enemy who seeks to destroy and to capture and to discourage and to knock down. He's got all the D's captivated. Discourage, destroy, diminish, whatever. He wants to do that. We have mortal bodies that God has given us to be filled with Him, to be used for His purposes, but it's going to be challenging. And we face that challenge, that opposition, being full of Christ, being full of the Holy Spirit. We need to know that answer for some of us who are rejected by our families for following Christ. Some think that we are crazy for believing in Jesus. Some feel the isolation that comes from being devoted to Jesus. We all have storms of many kinds, whether they're relational, financial, or personal. Those in our own families that's okay for you, but that's a religious thing. I tell you, faith in Jesus Christ is not a religion. It is a relationship. Don't ever let anyone call it a religion, because there are religions in this world that promise you everything but give you nothing. Ours is the only relationship that our God died for us, that we might have a relationship with Him. Thirdly, Paul tells about the supreme importance of understanding our calling in Christ. 2 Timothy, starting chapter 1, verse 8, says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me and His prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day." Every work that Paul did, it was entrusted to God for the day when he is glorified, when he goes home, for like James said, to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." This life really means nothing in relation to what's horizontal. It means everything to what's vertical. This life and all that we live, everything will pass away. It will burn up in fire. But that which is eternal remains eternally. Every person that you've shared Christ with, every person that this is working for the kingdom of God. Do you realize that? The Bible says, even a cold cup of water offered in my name, surely you will not lose your reward. You know, we tend to minimize things. This is maximizing things. You know, it's a very cool thing to be part of God's plan. Paul's life was anchored in the hope out of this world, literally out of this world. Man, I could have so much fun with that. Man, I'm out of this world. I'm here, but I'm gone. Because my true home as a believer is where? In heaven. I'm already there. I'm just stuck here for a little while, you know. But I'm already there, the Bible says. We are already citizens of heaven. Paul entrusted his life into the hands of God, and we can identify with Paul because many times we feel like nothing in life is going right. Let me tell you something. That's okay. Because this life is not the life that counts. You know, I love the bumper sticker that says, you know, you've seen what he who dies with the most toys wins. The Christian version of he who dies with the most toys still dies. You can't take it with you. It means nothing. Lastly, Paul's life ended well because of a right focus. Listen to what he wrote to the church in Philippi, starting chapter 3, verse 8. It says, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ. Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from which comes from God and on the basis of faith, so that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Like James said, that reference is not towards the things of earth, but the things of God. And I wanted to share a song with you written by a worship pastor out in California, Northern California, named Chris T. Alderton. And it goes like this.
Keep your eyes on the prize, running faithfully toward it, not turning aside. Stay focused on the prize. And when you cross the finish line, you will fall down before him. You will gaze into his face and you'll cry. The race was worth all the running and every pain that's been endured, just to kneel down here before you and see the prize has been secured. Keep your eyes on the prize, running faithfully toward it, not turning aside. Stay focused on the prize. All my pain and struggle over, no more fighting Satan's lies. I've crossed the finish line, embracing Jesus as the prize. The race was worth all the running and every pain that's been endured, just to kneel down here before you and see the prize has been secured. Keep your eyes on the prize, running faithfully toward it, not turning aside. Stay focused on the prize. All my pain and struggle over, no more fighting Satan's lies. I've crossed the finish line, embracing Jesus as the prize.
Let me tell you the rest of the story. Chris T. Alderton was a gifted man, gifted writer, gifted actor, gifted worship leader, who allowed the crack in his life to have an affair, to have it be discovered, and then to hang himself. You see, Satan is alive and well. It's not so important as how we start, but it's vital to know how we finish. A man who could write a song like that is so encouraging and grips your heart. He lost sight. Paul never did. Paul's new life began on the Damascus Road and ended on a chopping block in a prison cell in Rome. Despite what we may think, Paul ended his life very well, but Nero, who we spoke about, did not. Nero, at the age of 29, was lonely and paranoid. His second wife killed his first wife. Nero kicked his pregnant second wife, and she died. And 4 years after Paul's death, Nero committed suicide. Nero was no hero, but Paul still impacts us to this day. There are no St. Nero cathedrals. People do not name their sons Nero, but lots of people name their children Paul, Paula, Pauline. Who are the real difference makers in the world? Not the spotlight-seeking, celebrity attention-craving people. It's the ordinary Paul and Paulines, the church, who are making a difference for all eternity. Only the church has been given the story of grace, which Paul shared so much. And this is from his last work, his last letter to Timothy, in chapter 2, starting verse 6 of chapter 4. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Are you fighting the good fight? Are you finishing the course well? And are you running the race with diligence? There is a picture that I want to put up of a time when I got to go to Reno and preach in the morning services and then do a concert that night. And the people behind me are some of the most people in our lives. Pastor Greg on the far right-hand side is my mentor. He's my Paul to me being Timothy. And Pastor Dave, and then Pastor Dan. Pastor Dan was the music pastor who poured into my life and gave me opportunities to first lead worship. And then also Theda Denny was the choir director at the E-Free Church in Reno, where we served. Pastor Dan's wife just found out she has cancer. And Chris is a wonderful singer, but you know, it's the point now that we're just going to trust God. And they're both, their attitude is, you know, if God heals, he heals. If not, we're going home. Tremendous faith being lived out. We just found that out this week. And Greg at that concert, this was the very beginning of grace, and prayed for me and said, you know, this brother, you got to remember we're in Reno. This brother is all in. All in is a poker term, a term that there's nothing held back. Everything is pushed forward to the center of the pot for God. And Greg said, this brother is all in. Are you all in? Have you given it all, your all, to Christ for all that he has for you? I worry that the church holds back just a bit. Not that we become crazy, not that we become irresponsible, but that we lose sight of the power of God for the purposes of God. The book of Acts still continues today with its Pauls, its Paulinas, its Royds, it's Rovinas, it's Roland, all the R's, and every other letter of the alphabet. It is the story of the body of Christ. It is the story of our local church. It's your story, and it's mine. Let's pray. Father, thank you that your word is so powerful. Thank you that the life of Paul is a life that we can emulate because he followed Christ, and so we follow him as well. Lord, would you remind us of the things of life that we just see as difficulties that you desire to see change, to change our attitude, our hope, our focus, not to see as oppression, but see as opportunities to suffer for Christ. And if we suffer as a Christian, Father, praise you all the more. This world is a difficult world, but we can navigate through your power, your love, and your strength. Thank you for this journey we've been on. May you continue to work and speak to our hearts this week, and we'll praise you for it in Christ's name. Amen.
Every soul we long to reach, every every heart we hope to teach, everywhere we share His peace, is only by His grace. Every loving word we say, every tear we wipe away, every sorrow turned to praise, is only by His grace. Praise the Lord, which God supplies, strength and hope He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go. Which God supplies, strength and knows He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. We will go forth in grace alone.
Father, help us go forward in grace alone, that You might receive all the glory. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for joining us tonight for this chapter of the story. We invite you to come to Grace some Sunday morning or Sunday evening at one of our identical services. Please join us and visit us on the web at www.grace247.org. And we hope to see you here. God bless.